O Lord, come to my aid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, my dear brothers and sisters, I prayed this prayer because I know that this morning my preaching may not be palatable, comfortable with many people. We may like it, and some may not. But that's what Jesus is saying today. So on this 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time, the church encourages us to fight against evil by following the footsteps of Christ, who came to bring fire upon the earth in order to purify, transform, and save us from the troubles that afflict us. Hence, the central theme of today's readings is that we should courageously live out our religious convictions and principles in our life as Jeremiah, Paul, and Jesus did, even if it will bring us martyrdom or turn our society upside down. So, my dear brothers and sisters, if no one is ever offended by the quality of our commitments to Christ, then perhaps we are practicing inoffensive Christianity. In the first reading of today, the prophet Jeremiah suffered grave injustice for the sake of the message he preached. He became a man of dissension for all the land where he preached. This was because his message was not so comforting to the leaders. So their best option was to conspire and get rid of him. Although they succeeded for a while, God proved that he was a mighty savior. He did not allow him to perish. Instead, at his own time and in his own way, God came to his aid. For the psalmist says and testifies, I waited and waited for the Lord, and he heard my cry. But he waited and waited. This is especially when we are just and innocent. The Lord is always faithful and ready to deliver us from all difficulties. Hence, we must not give up, even if we are crushed. The Bible says, they compass me and compass me about, but in the Lord's name, I crush them. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the question becomes, what Jeremiah suffered, is it still existing in our own time? Yes, we have many princes. We have many priests. We have many leaders who don't want to hear the truth. Are we going to be coward? No. And so the second reading says, let us not lose sight of Jesus, who leads us in our faith and brings us to perfection. To pray is to keep Jesus in our sight, in focus. When we pray, we focus ourselves on the Lord, and in doing so, we allow the Lord to rekindle the fire of the Holy Spirit within us, and we become empowered to bring his love to others. For us Catholics, the Mass we are celebrating right now is a time when we keep Jesus in our sight in a special way. We give him our time and attention, At Mass, the Lord comes to us and we go to him. He looks out upon us in his love, and we look upon him in love. As we do so, the fire of the Spirit is rekindled within us, and in the words of the second reading, we are helped to keep running steadily in the race we have started. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, the reading encourages us to emulate Christ's zeal and courage during difficult times in our lives. Hence, in the face of opposition, we must be firm. Indeed, Jesus will always supply the strength and energy we need in those times. Today's gospel reading has left many wondering what Jesus means by bringing fire and division upon the earth. This is because we call him the Prince of Peace, the one who unites. Unfortunately, some fundamentalist Christians have employed this passage in a very literal and negative way. Christ's message is indeed incisive. However, one needs the guidance of the Holy Spirit to understand what the Lord wishes to communicate to each and every one of us. My dear people of God, today's gospel reading reminds us of the event in the Old Testament where fire came into play. God used fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. God used fire and hailstones to punish the Egyptians for their stubbornness. Exodus 9, verse 3. The prophet Elijah called on fire from heaven to consume 50 soldiers. 2 Kings chapter 1, 9 to 17. And fire consumed his sacrifice in 1 Kings 18, 38. The question, does Jesus want to destroy us with this same fire? Of course, no. The fire that Jesus brings is different. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit, which purifies our soul from evil and saves us. Hence, St. Cyril of Alexandria writes, "The fire which Christ brings is for men's salvation and profit." The fire here is the saving message of the gospel and the power of its commandment. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the fire is the message of the gospel. We have to ask ourselves, are we on fire? Are we behaving like the Jeremiah of the first reading? My dear brothers and sisters, the book of Ezekiel, God tells us, you are the watchmen and women of your society. Is that what we are in our society? Jesus brings this fire of love and fire of hope. The disruption, division, and revolution which Christ and his true followers cause in the society by the fire of sacrificial love and the fire of justice are necessary to reset what is fractured, to put right what is dislocated, and to cleanse what is infected. In other words, the curative pain caused by Jesus' idea and ideals are necessary for the establishment of the real shalom of God. Even though Jesus brings a sword and causes division, he is the bringer of true and lasting peace. In pursuing his mission, Jesus brings division because some follow him and others oppose him. We must make a decision to follow him or not, to share in his baptism or not. This choice is ours and can result in division, even in our families. And this division in our families, in our societies, is what most of us are afraid of as Christians. What Jeremiah suffered for saying the truth, for not playing to the gallery, not telling the king what he wants to hear and the people. If we remember, the prince went to the king and says, what he is preaching is not comfortable. Is what your life you are living as a Christian, is it comfortable to the world? Do we compromise? In our family, let us remember what Christ says. If you love your mom, if you love your dad, if you love your wife or husband, your friends more than me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. My dear brothers and sisters, in another word, the Bible tells us, if you are not warm or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth if you are lukewarm. And that is what most of us Christians are. We are afraid to speak power to the truth. We are afraid because it may cost us our life. We are afraid because our business may be affected, our life may be affected. The good rapport between us and our friends may be affected. But Jeremiah was not afraid. Even when they put him in that pit, there was no water, only mud, he was not afraid. Why are we afraid of speaking the truth? Why do we see something going wrong and look the other way as Christians? Today, in our society, I would say that our country is almost made of 80% Christians. In our money, we wrote there, in God we trust. But in our schools, in the public places, there's no cross. It is forbidden to have a crucifix or a cross. It is forbidden to call the name of God in our schools, where children grow, the future of tomorrow. A child came back from school and was asking the parents, am I a girl or a boy? My dear brothers and sisters, in our schools today, children of 5, 7 are called upon and told, you can decide to be a boy or a girl, or even no gender at all. Today in our schools, those who are there are people without morals, talkless of Christian conviction. And we as grandparents and parents, we keep silent, we compromise, we look the other way when things are going wrong. Jeremiah never kept silent. His words were not comforting. People were not comfortable with what he preached, because he preached the truth. My dear brothers and sisters, if we have not lived our Christian life in a way that when people are doing wrong and you come around, they stop. If you live your life in a way that when you come around, they continue doing it, know that you are not living the Christian life. We are supposed to live our life in a way that when we come where something is going wrong, where people are gossiping, where people are doing what they are not supposed to do, they will stop because they know you will not compromise. Even in our immediate families. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire. How I wish it is already blazing. Today we compromise our faith. We compromise everything. The Christian is the first person, the easiest person to convince. The Christian is the easiest person to look the other way. And for us, we don't want to cause problems. We don't want others to get hurt. Since it does not concern me, let him leave him or she live his life. That is not what Jesus is saying today. He says, in a family, it will be divided. Why? Because of truth. Because you don't compromise. Because you are a straightforward person. Because you don't want anything to come between you and God. Let us remember what he says. If you don't say what you are supposed to say, that was what he told Ezekiel. If you don't tell my people the truth, if they die, their death will be on your head. But if you tell them the truth and they die, they refuse doing it, their death will be on their head. My dear brothers and sisters, we are the prophets of our time. In baptism, we are told, you are a priest, a prophet, and a king. Are we the kind of king we have in that first reading? This king takes in everything. The prince comes and says, Jeremiah is supposed to die. And he says, oh, do anything you like with him. And Malachi comes and says, what they did was not right. And he says, oh, go and bring him out. That is what some of us do as Christians. Anything can go. We don't take decision and follow it. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are truthful, life as a Christian does not hurt. You have not started living a Christian life. Let us remember what Jesus said to his disciples. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Ask yourself, what kind of Christian am I? The hot one or the cold one? Therefore, this Sunday, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus reassures us of his willingness to continue the work of salvation which he started in us. His plan is to achieve this through our continuous purification. Purification does not come easy. The fire he wishes to bring is that which is very positive and objective. It is our purification and the consumption of the debris and the fabrics of inordinate attachments, immorality, injustice, and corruption in our lives. My dear people of God, let us remember that on the day of our baptism, we received the light of Christ, and we are instructed to keep that torch burning brightly until the return of Christ. Jesus, is your own still burning brightly? Or are you afraid? Have it gone dimmed or extinguished because of fear? In addition, the Holy Spirit was sent into our hearts as confirmation to help set us on fire. For the wise saying says, one who is on fire cannot sit on a chair comfortably. Are you comfortable as a Christian? So as Christians on fire, we have to inflame people to care, to serve, and to bless one another with the gift of faith. We should allow that fire to burn off the impurities in us and bring out the purity of gold and silver within us. My dear brothers and sisters, we have only one truth, and it is objective and universal. Let us not fall for what they tell us, that truth is subjective. It is never. It is the wrong ideology that they use to confuse us and make us follow the dictates of the world instead of the dictate of God. No matter what you do, the truth of God will always persevere. And that is the fire that Jesus wants to burn in our hearts, and through our hearts, set the society aflame. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the good news is a cause of division, because it contrasts to the unjust society and all that goes contrary to it. Hence, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4 says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. When you want people to love you, love what you say, you want to be friends with the people of the world, know that you are stepping on the enmity of God. Hence, my dear brothers and sisters, if we are ready to live the real Christian life, let us, with the psalmist, pray to Jesus Christ to save us as he saved Jeremiah and Paul by saying, Lord, come to my aid. Amen.